It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. The opposition in Syria is increasingly taking up arms. They've been devastated by months of assaults by government troops loyal to President Bashar al-Assad.
The army offensive to crush the rebels has been so ferocious that a UN monitoring mission was suspended. But we're about to hear the sounds of the rebels fighting back.
NPR's Deb Amos is one of the few reporters to make it into Syria in recent months. This morning, she reports on the Syrian opposition, the Free Syrian Army, and on civilians caught in the fighting.
This is what it sounds like in Harista, a neighborhood in the suburbs of Damascus.
The fight between the Free Syrian Army and the regular Syrian army is happening every night.
She says her name is Sara. She lives with her family in Harista.
It's very loud and frightening. So my mom spent the three last months in the bathroom. It's the only safe place part of the house.
But it's hardly safe, with Harista under siege by the Syrian army.
They've been attacked us with machine guns, heavy machine guns, and we have many hurt people.
How much is the Free Syrian Army in Harista?
We have many. And we have many who those are preparing to carry guns.
But when they have guns, does the government come even harder?
Yes, and they know that, but there are no other way.
Many Syrians are making the same choice. A rebel force that began with army deserters is now swelled with civilians. The Free Syrian Army is just a name, says Abdelaziz Khayr, a longtime opposition activist in Damascus. He says the FSA profile is different in every town and village, in cities like Hama in central Syria. He says the rebel army is well-trained and has popular support.
They keep the city secured against thieves and criminals. That's why the people there respect them and love them. While in the countryside of Hama, it's a completely different view.
There, gunmen calling themselves FSA are just armed gangs, he says.
Some of them kill people due to sectarian considerations, and some are only criminal groups who kidnap people and ask for ransom.
But on the streets of Damascus, ask about the Free Syrian Army and you hear respect, especially from the young. This 18-year-old high school student, afraid to give his name, says he welcomes the FSA in his neighborhood.
They protect the people. And
because he adds in Arabic, the regular army shoots protesters. Since the start of the anti-government demonstrations, the regime has responded with brute force. And many activists have lost faith in nonviolent strategies after so many peaceful protesters have died. But there's still a debate about recent rebel tactics, targeting infrastructure, ambushes on army checkpoints, military cars, and police stations, says this activist who wouldn't give her name.
They didn't come into the neighborhood to kill off policemen or army guys. The first purpose of their presence is to protect civilians.
Now, there's another strategy. In some towns along Syria's main artery, the North-South Highway, the Free Syrian Army has pushed the army out, destroying tanks and taking prisoners. In Rastan, Tel Abisi, in parts of Homs, the rebels are in control, but at a heavy cost. Army bombardments have pounded entire blocks to rubble. Louay Hussein, a prominent opposition figure in Damascus, asks, what have the rebels gained? He says opposition figures outside the country are misleading the rebels, inflating their numbers, assuring them that the regime is about to collapse and they must fight on. But the army and the regime are still strong in Harista, says Sara. She believes there can be no protest without the rebels and their guns.
We couldn't go out to the street without a protection with the Free Syrian Army because the security will shoot us suddenly, directly. Even this small rights, we don't have it without them now.
Deborah Amos, NPR News.
Several outside powers have been trying to influence the Syrian crisis. One is the United States. Another is Russia, which has supported the government of President Assad.
President Obama met Russian President Vladimir Putin this week, but it's not clear how the two countries can work together. The two presidents met along with other world leaders at a summit of the G20, the group of 20 leaders of the world's largest economies.
Their latest regular meeting is in Mexico. Much of the summit has focused on the Eurozone debt crisis. Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa are all offering to give more to an international crisis fund in exchange for more influence in global monetary policy.